ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء وعلى اله واصحابه ومن ولا وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, yesterday I went to visit a dear friend of mine who was in hospital. Alhamdulillah, he underwent bypass surgery. Surgery, alhamdulillah, is successful. He is also recovering. Make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should cure him completely and bring him back home. But when I went there, one of the things that always strikes me when I go to these corporate hospitals is the fact that there is valet parking and that the number of cars outside, the number of big cars, number of high value cars. This is a thing that always strikes me at whenever I go to any of these of our corporate hospitals. And the thought that goes in my mind is, what is going on in the mind of the owner of that car who is lying in hospital in the bed? Is he thinking of which should be my next car? Is he thinking of what should I do to this car? What extra fittings must I add? Nowadays, if high-value cars come with all the extra fittings, there's no other extra fitting required. But I'm saying that what is going on in the mind of the person who owns the car? Or the minds of the people, supposing the cars belong to their relatives or their children or something, what's going on in their minds? What is the top priority item? If you walk into the wards and the people who are lying in those beds, what is the topmost priority thing in the mind of that person? I don't know if anyone has done a survey of that, but I can imagine most of it will of what it will be. I remember three videos that I heard, I mean that I watched on YouTube. They are there for you to see also if you like. One is called The Last Lecture, which is by this professor in Carnegie Mellon, who was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, terminal illness. The only good thing in quotes about pancreatic cancer is that there is no pain and you are fit almost to the end, and but you go very quickly. Pancreatic cancer has no cure for it. I mean, it's you go very fast. So this man gave his last lecture. So that's worth watching. Just go to YouTube and search for The Last Lecture and you will find it. The second one was Steve Jobs. His when he was diagnosed, I think if I'm not mistaken, also with pancreatic cancer. What he said, and that is also there on YouTube. And the third one was one more lecture. I can't remember now whose it was. But also the same. Not somebody who was dying, but somebody who had a very near-death experience. This was the guy who was sitting in seat number 1D in a Boeing 777, all economy seating. When this was the famous plane that sucked in a whole flock of geese into the engine, and the pilot landed the plane on the Hudson River. Very famous thing. An amazing piece of flying, because alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved all of them. There was no casualties. And he landed the whole plane inside the river, but alhamdulillah, he did it in a wonderful manner. Fantastic piece of flying. So this lecture, I'm saying 1D because if you fly in a 777 and if you see the economy seating configuration, 1D is the only seat from which you can look at the face of the stewardess or the stewards who are sitting there in their jump seats next to the door. And this guy was in this seat 1D. And this the YouTube video, it's a TED talk. He talks about what happened with him and what went on in his mind, right? He said there was this explosion, there's a boom kind of a sound. And then there was dead silence because the engines all the engines failed. And he said, I was going to ask the stewardess what happened. But he said, the look on her face, I knew I don't have to ask her. And then he talked about this whole experience. All of these three lectures, what they're basically doing is giving a message to the people who are listening and watching. Talking about, this is their sort of so-called or almost definitely the first, in the case of the first two, their last message. So the last message is, usually the most important. What is the absolutely most important critical thing that you want people to remember? And all the three messages, effectively, they say, live your life fullest, meaning enjoy life to the fullest. Don't postpone things, what you can do now. Don't keep a bucket list of things. Enjoy whatever you can enjoy. And in the case of this guy on this plane, he said also, be a good parent. So he's thinking a little bit longer than enjoy life. Right? So what strikes me whenever I listen to these things is the difference between a person with iman and faith in the akhirah and a person who does not have a concept of the akhirah. So a near-death experience or the news of terminal illness, if you have no understanding of the akhirah, still does not open your eyes. It still doesn't wake you up. And that is the point I began with, which is that when you go to these corporate hospitals, not that all those people are going to die. I mean, fact is, we are all going to die. I mean, corporate hospital or no hospital, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us out of all hospitals, keep us in a state of health until our last breath, and take us in a state of health and iman, inshallah. But the point is that even if you are not going to die, when you are lying in that hospital bed, you don't know that. So the prospect of death seems to be closer than we normally think. And therefore, priorities change. And you get closer to the reality. So what we should do is, in the light of what I have said, the so-called last lectures or the wasiyat that a person might do when he or she receives news of terminal illness, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you long and healthy lives, inshallah. But let's imagine, for the sake of an exercise, that we have received news of terminal illness. Now, what would we like to do with our own lives? How would we like to restructure our lives, given that now we know we have a very finite amount of time left for us in this world? Couple of weeks, couple of months. Now, what is it that you or I would like to do in that couple of weeks or months? I can say absolutely certainly that we would not like to continue to do whatever we were doing now, right? Now, unless we are living lives which are so perfect, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those. Somebody asked Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, and he said, if I could see the Jannah or Jahannam right now before me, there is nothing in my life that I would need to change. Now, alhamdulillah, for people who are at that level, that's a different issue, but I speak for myself, I'm certainly never nowhere even on the same planet as far as that is concerned. So there will be definitely things that we need to change in our lives if we know that we are going to die in the next couple of weeks or couple of months. So what are those things? So let's make a list and say that these are the things that I am not doing currently, which I would like to do. These are the things that I'm doing currently, which I'm going to stop right now. And these are the things that I am doing currently, which are good, and alhamdulillah, I will continue to do them. So if we can do this as an exercise and say, what is it that I want to start doing? What is it that I want to stop doing? And what is it that I should continue to do with great sincerity and with istiqamat, with steadfastness? So this is, I think, a very important thing to do for. So let us do that. Imagine this situation, put yourself in that situation and do this and say, make a chart and on this start, stop and continue. Once we do that, then of course we should go to the second step, which is that continue is fine, alhamdulillah, because you are already doing those things and you will continue to do them. But for the start and the stop, make another chart, which I call the enabler and inhibitor chart. So say, take each one of those. So supposing you say, I want to start praying tahajjud, for example. Now, take the enabler and inhibitor chart. Take a piece of paper, take a sheet of paper, draw a line in the middle. On the left is enablers, on the right is inhibitors. And then say, if I want to start praying tahajjud from tomorrow, what are the enablers? What are the things that I need to do in order for me to be able to pray tahajjud? So for example, sleeping early. For example, making zikr before I go to sleep, you know, things like this. So what is it that I need to do in order for this tahajjud to become easy for me to be able to pray tahajjud? So do that enablers. And then on the other side, look at the inhibitors and say, what are the things that are likely to inhibit me from praying tahajjud? So, you know, one might be Facebook or something else. So for each of the things that you want to start and stop, make an enabler and inhibitor list. These are the things that I want to start doing. For each one of them, what are the likely enablers and what are the likely inhibitors? These are the things that I want to stop doing. For each of them, what is the likely enabler and what is the likely inhibitor? Once we do this, then inshallah, implementing that will become easy, because one of the problems of all of these New Year resolution kind of things is that everyone has good intentions, but they don't seem to translate into action because we don't do enough due diligence with regard to enablers and inhibitors. So then you hit the first roadblock and you find that, oh my God, what happened? You know, I thought I will do this, but it didn't work. Take for example the issue of following the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, of keeping a beard, which is the first of the signs of following the sunnah. Your face itself shows that you are a follower of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One of the biggest inhibitors is the reaction that we very sadly and unfortunately get from our own closest family and friends. Now, many people, they have this good intention of keeping a beard, but they have not thought about what will you do when you hit that roadblock. What will you do when people start telling you all kinds of things, and you know, they say some hurtful things, and then you get discouraged and you get you lose your enthusiasm. Now, you might say, well, you know, why does somebody lose enthusiasm with regard to the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Just because of what people say, but this is, you know, psychology, this is what happens to us. So it's a good idea to think about that beforehand and to be mentally prepared to deal with that. So in this particular case, what I tell people always to do is, don't engage with those people. Don't argue with them. Don't try to tell them this is the sunnah and these are the dalail and so on and so on. Most of them know all of that. Still, they insist on ignoring it. And you are just entertainment for them. So best thing is just smile, ignore and leave. That's it. End of the day, it's your face. They can't tie you down to a bed and shave you forcibly. So nothing to worry about. Let them say what they want. In my experience, they will say that once or twice or thrice, and after that, it's just old hat. You know, it's how many times will you tell someone to do something when he's not doing it, and they forget about it. So it's as simple as just ignore it, smile, ignore it. Don't argue, don't engage, don't get upset, you know, and all of that. So that's the simplest way of doing it, and then you are home and dry, and then of course you will find people who will support you and people who will give you positive feedback. Now, in any case, it's not such a great idea to be so focused on what people say to do the important things in your life, because people are not going to come with you into your khabar. So remember that, and do the right thing because it is the right thing. Do the right thing because this pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not because it pleases people. Because if you're doing something only to please people, anyway, it's no use. So focus on that and say, this good thing which I want to start, what are the likely inhibitors? How will I deal with them? What are the likely enablers? How will I strengthen them? How will I make those enablers stronger? So get rid of the inhibitors, strengthen the enablers, and inshallah, we are ready to go. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.